Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, 4:35 PM right now on Monday. Beautiful day outside. Got some bad weather coming tomorrow is what I understand. But, yeah, I know some of y'all are in drive-home mode right now. So be careful out there in that go-home traffic. And let me just tell you, by the way, if you're heading out, you got to know this. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison out by City Hall, and the other one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville near Whole Foods. Man, the food, the coffee, all of it. But I want to make sure you understand something else about Just Love Coffee Cafe. They are way more than just a cafe where you can get a great macchiato or a cappuccino or just a steaming cup of hot black coffee that was, you know, ground fresh and made just for you. They got great food you can eat. They got salads and wraps and sandwiches. They got breakfast that you can have for dinner if you want. They've got all day food. That plus, here's the deal. They are an organization that, as a rule, as a part of who they are, gives back to the community. I love that about Just Love Coffee Cafe. They're not just a place that serves the food and sends you on your way. They're the place where you can go and see, you know, the local high school band doing a fundraiser on Saturday morning. They're the place that works with the Girl Scouts to have their table set up to sell cookies outside the front door. They're the place that raises money for charities that take special needs kids and kids with disabilities and helps them into sporting events with a partner so they can, quote unquote, run a race. I mean, it's just a cool organization. I love what they do and I love what they stand for. And I think it makes them a great addition to the Right Side team. So I'd appreciate it. Y'all supporting them too. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. All right. Back on the last part of my State House machinations piece of the Triple Dipper. So you heard the discussion there with Senator Arthur Orr. He is the sponsor of, let's see, what's the number of that bill? Senate Bill 171, I believe. Yes, it is. Senate Bill 171 is the Numeracy Act. He's still hopeful that it's going to pass, according to him. You heard that right here on Right Side. But gubernatorial candidates are coming out hard against it. I mean, right now, you've literally got Tim James, Lindy Blanchard, Dean Odle, and Lou Burdette all issuing statements against the bill. Now, it's not uncommon to see, you know, candidates for office call out an issue. It is unusual to see them call out a bill by number. But the fact that they're running in the middle of a legislative session gives them a target. And so this is something that has been identified by many as being something that literally advances the cause of Common Core math as opposed to getting rid of it. Other organizations like Eagle Forum and others are out there saying it. I'll be honest with you, I'm less versed in what constitutes Common Core math, except to say that my understanding is it makes it a whole lot harder to get from 2 plus 2 to 4. That being said, it's an expensive bill, too. $90 million being spent to put math coaches throughout our public school system who will train kindergarten through fifth grade teachers on how to teach Common Core. So they're literally coaches for the teachers. Okay, that's what they're saying. I said Common Core, by the way. I apologize. I was reading part of somebody else's statement, so that phraseology may not be what's in the bill. What I'm saying is it does, though, cost roughly $92 million. It hires math coaches who are going to train K through 5 teachers how to teach math, which you would hope they would already know how to do, but apparently they don't because we're last in the nation. So that's happening. The other thing he and I talked about, to give you a more in-depth study of it here, is the fact that we have what AL Daily News is calling dueling gambling proposals. So right now you have this just awful bill that I've talked about multiple times on this show. This awful piece of legislation that literally takes all the bad actors in Alabama, you know, casino history, and says, you know what, you hung on long enough breaking our laws. Y'all come on in here. We'll give you a monopoly. We'll write you into our laws by name. We'll say Green Track. We'll say Victory Land. We'll say Country Crossing. We'll say all y'all people. You get to have a monopoly in the state of Alabama. Isn't that wonderful? If you hang around long enough and pay your lobbyists and your lawyers, you can get your name written into the state constitution as someone who is allowed to have the only rights to be a casino in the state of Alabama. That makes no sense whatsoever. Y'all, if that's not a Democrat bill, I don't know what is. That is big government picking the winners and the losers. That's not the free market. Let's put aside whether you even like casino gaming or not. I'm not a fan, but let's put that aside for a minute. Try not to argue that first. Tell me why that bill, the way it's structured, makes good sense. It doesn't. You know what it is? It's the lawbreakers paying their lobbyists and their lawyers and getting their names into the legislation. That's what it is. Well, that bill is struggling, though. And Arthur said, and by the way, Arthur Orr, my understanding is he's a no vote on that bill, if it were to come up. But they are literally going at it right now. Well, in the meantime, and apparently, according to State Senator Greg Allbritton, who is the sponsor of the gambling bill, he said that his words in an AL Daily News article dated March 18th this past weekend. He said, they've been telling us it's too late to pass a lottery bill. Not this year, Allbritton said. Then they dropped this. It was a surprise to everyone. So here's the deal. A pure lottery bill, allegedly pure lottery bill, got dropped in by a House member, Representative Brown, from Hollinger's Island. I'm not even sure where that is now that I think about it. But Hollinger's Island. Anyway, Representative Brown dropped in what's known as a pure lottery bill. In other words, it doesn't have casino gaming written into it. Let me just do some splaining on this, because I can tell you right now, having been down there more than once, what they'll do is under the nuances of our state constitution, if certain verbiage, and this is what they pay their lawyers to help them figure out, if a lottery bill comes up and it's got certain verbiage written into it, it can be construed in court later to have opened the door to what's known as Class 3 gaming. That's what they're banking on. So I can remember distinctly a lottery bill coming up, and it passed the Senate, shocked everybody, passed the Senate, went down to the House. Down to the House, I personally got with what was then Representative Connie Rowe. We worked with the Attorney General's office and the folks at the Alamo Policy Institute, and we crafted some language that we felt like would make sure that if that lottery bill passed, that there's no way in the world it could be used to expand casino gaming. The House adopted that amendment. It came back upstairs to the place where the bill had first passed. Supposedly it's a pure lottery bill. Why would they care? The bill came back upstairs for what's called concurrence. You could have had a lottery I'm not a fan of lottery, but if you could have had a lottery, maybe six. You could have had it 5 or 6 years ago, except that when the single amendment that banned casino gaming outright was added to that bill, the bill failed to get concurrence in the Senate and it died and it went away. You know why? Because the casinos had been caught. They had their hand in the cookie jar. And they knew that we had written them out and they couldn't argue it in court later. All right. I'm just telling you. Anyway, what's happening right now is that pure lottery bill was dropped in at the last minute. It's making its way. It came out of committee in the House. It's going to come up on the House floor at the first of next week, I'm sure. If it makes it through the House, it might actually make it through the Senate. There are some people that believe that those who were sitting on the fence about this gambling bill are now going, oh, look at the shiny thing. And they're saying, I never really was comfortable with casinos, but I can do a lottery. And so they're losing votes on the lottery or on the gaming bill because the lottery bill came up. All right, a couple other things you might want to know. School choice is really not happening. Despite everything that we've done, you know, on the show, I went down there and broadcast live from the State House. And we did it on School Choice Day. We helped rally up a large group of people that actually went and worked the State House that day, had a rally on the State House steps. We broadcasted this show live. Multiple other organizations were involved. People all over the state are calling for more school choice opportunities, like many other states that are doing better than us in education. Well, the teachers union and the usual naysayers got that shut down. The school choice bill that we were hoping would go somewhere this year was called the Parents' Choice Act. It would have allowed a child to go anywhere in the state and the tax dollars that pay for that child's education to go with them. Well, it's been substituted. Substituted means they actually took the bill and they snatched it out and put another one on top of it in its place. It was a formal substitute. The substitute just passed the Senate. All it does is basically level fund charter schools. That's it. It level funds charter schools. You heard me. That's it. It level funds charter schools. Oh, by the way, it only level funds them from county funds. Doesn't say anything about state. Doesn't say anything about anything else. It just makes sure that if a county is funding schools and there's a charter in the county has to fund the charter school at the same level. That's all it does. Yay. Way to go, legislature. Hey, folks, got to tell you, too, before we go to the break, you guys need to just know this, that ZLA Solutions is one of the best right now at getting people back to work. They are awesome at what they do. They just had the biggest year they've ever had, largely because they're so good at putting people back to work. If you're an employer who's looking for a workforce for your work sites, the ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. But I'll also tell you, too, that if you're an individual just looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted everywhere. Great pay, many of them with benefits. I'm just telling you, ZLA Solutions is one of the best at creating workforce opportunities right here in the state of Alabama. At ZLA, they like to say, ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. And they do. They will help you make your job site better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Copper, take us to the last break of the day. We'll come back from this, folks. We'll kind of wrap up our time together. We've got a couple more things about State House machinations. You want to call in, you're welcome to it. 866-494-9866. It's been a good show. Been a very full show. That's what we do, though. Spend all the hours actually resourcing the show. I bet I spend 3 hours a day resourcing for a three-hour show. But that's why it matters. And you guys, best audience in the world, I owe you that. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, it is a beautiful day outside. I mean, I'm already planning on Charlene and I are probably going to have some time to sit on the deck, enjoying the fact that the sun doesn't go down before I even get home. That being said, though, it's the warmer months. And so your heating and air systems, they're having to switch over. And they're also in that phase where you might need heat at night, air conditioning during the day. Well, that can freak out your system, so you might want to get these things serviced and get them ready for the hot months. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. Vandy's Heating and Air is one of our team members. They've been with us now for several months. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning is great at what they do, and they can service all of your systems, gas or electric. They can come out and do repairs, installations, whatever the case may be, and they're open 6 days a week. So you need something on a Saturday, they're there for you. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, locally owned, veteran owned, right here in the area. They service Huntsville, Madison, all the surrounding areas. You need somebody, they're your one-stop shop. 256-225-7311. That's Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, 256-225-7311. And by the way, they've got a special, I got to tell you. If you've got a system that needs to be, you know, serviced and made ready for the hot months, $69 per unit, they will get it done. Here's the thing. Something goes wrong with that system for the next year, you get 10% off of any repair work because they have to come back out. They'll take care of you. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, 256-225-7311. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side. Copper, you had a caller a minute ago. What was that just a minute ago? I thought we had somebody calling in.
That's right. He said he didn't want to go on air, but he has encountered many people who think that constitutional carry is already in effect and was wondering if you could remind everyone that it's not until January of 2023 that it goes into effect.
Well, I think you just did.
Indeed. So
I think we're good. No, you're right. He's right. And thanks, Copper. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah. So thank you to our caller. Good reminder. Constitutional carry. It was passed. You don't have to have a concealed carry permit within the state of Alabama. It doesn't mean you won't have to have one if you travel elsewhere. But that being said, it does not go into effect until January of 2023. So it was not like an immediate effect. For whatever reason, the legislature gave it a delayed implementation. So January 2023, that's when it starts. Just know that. We're still an open carry state, have been all along. So you can open carry. You just can't concealed carry without a permit until January of 2023. Well, there's been a lot of stuff happening in Montgomery. And you heard it a minute ago from Senator Orr. It sounds like they're going to do a couple of three-day weeks, they call them. So they got 7 legislative days. The way that works, by the way, I think I may have said it on here before. Forgive me if you've heard it. But the reality is this. I'm going from memory here. I think it's 105 calendar days to complete 35 legislative days. Just bear with me there. What typically happens is you go down to Montgomery, and Tuesday and Thursday, you're generally speaking, you're in the chamber passing your debating bills. Wednesday is committee day, and committees are working on bringing bills out so that you can, you know, get them to the floor. Sometimes, in order to expedite a calendar or to move through something before you get to a break or before the end of the session, they'll do what's called burning a day, or for that matter, they'll just go ahead and push for a 3-day week, which means you're going to be in the chamber working to pass bills 3 days in a row. The crazy thing is that doesn't sound like much. It's exhausting, especially if you have long days on hard filibusters and people who are mad about certain bills, and you need other bills to come up and your constituents are calling you, but you can't get yours to the floor because something else is being debated and filibustered. I don't envy them a bit, but what they're looking at doing right now is potentially a couple of 3-day weeks. That'll burn 6, and then they always usually hold one in case they have to come back in to override a governor's veto, which means if they pass something she doesn't like, she can veto it. If they don't have any legislative days left, they can't do a thing about it. But if they hold one in abeyance, then they can come back and deal with her veto, and if they have a 2-thirds majority, I believe it is, they can override that veto. So there's the process they're staring at. That's how they calendar out for the latter part of the session. So you're going to see it. 7 legislative days left. Who knows what mischief they can get into in 7 legislative days. What I used to always say was bad things happen when love breaks out in the Senate because things pass too easily then. You want debate, y'all. You want debate. You want filibusters. Somebody needs to get mad and slow down some of that stuff. All right, great day. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Copper and I back here again tomorrow at 2. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Have a great night.